Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Touax Group conference call. I now hand over to Mr. Fabrice Valeschi, Managing Partner, and Mr. Thierry Schmitt de La Brélie, Managing Director, Administration and Finance. Gentlemen, please go ahead.
Thank you. So welcome to all to this semi-annual presentation of our financials. Thank you for participating despite the current events and sanitary crisis, and we hope that you are all safe. We will present you with Thierry the 2019 financials of the company, the market outlook and strategy, with a focus, of course, on COVID-19, and the NAV per share, which is published now every year to well inform all our shareholders and partners. On page 4 of the presentation, here is a short summary of our activities. So Touax is an operating leasing company at the service of sustainable transport. So we have three activities today, the leasing of freight wagons, freight rail cars. We are number 2 in Europe for the leasing of intermodal wagons, a fleet of 11,000 wagons, 9,500 for normal long-term lease activities, and the balance for technical management. We have 292 million euros of owned assets and 133 million euros of managed assets on behalf of third parties. The fleet is in average 20 years old. It represents 63% of the EBITDA and 36% of the revenues. The second activity, the leasing of river barges. We are number 1 in Europe and in South America with a fleet of approximately 100 barges. We manage 74 million euros of assets owned and 10 million on behalf of third parties. It's 9% of the EBITDA of the group and 7% of the revenues. And then we have the leasing of logistic containers. We are the number 1 in Europe with a fleet of 434,000 TEUs. We are the number eight platform in the world, and number 3, we are the third largest asset manager on behalf of third parties of this type of asset class. We have here 589 million euros of assets managed on behalf of third parties and 74 million euros of owned assets. It's 48% of the revenues and 24% of the EBITDA. 2019 did show a sharp improvement in the results, as Thierry will describe you. In summary, for the revenues, you see a 9% increase from 154 to 169 million euros. And you see also the acceleration from the first semester of 2019 with the second semester of 2019. Same for operating income, a significant improvement with an 87% increase from 8 to 15 million euros. EBITDA plus 44%. And also the net attributable income with plus 35%. And you see also here the acceleration from first semester to the second semester. On page 6, what we can also confirm is a return to positive net income before tax. In fact, we did successfully the refocusing of our activities into the leasing, operating leasing of transportation equipment. We could achieve, therefore, you know, the numbers I described you, and the positive net income is back into black numbers with 700 million euros of profits. There were also a lot of activities with successful refinancing. We did raise 40 million, you know, from the market for bond issuance. We did issue a 10 million bond also as a EuroPP, and we did syndicate 37.5 million euros of equipment to partners, to third-party investors. And we have also today a loan-to-value of 54%, giving the group a solid capacity for development. In terms of a summary also to start, you know, what is our strategy? So definitely to continue growing the three platforms offering to our customers long-term leasing of transportation assets. For freight rail cars, we continue to target an organic growth. We are very selective in our investments, but an organic growth in Europe and Asia. For barges, same, selective investments mostly in Europe, less in the States and South America. And for containers, also organic growth, but the main objective, main target being to increase the ownership ratio, which was 8%, and we target to 20%. We do also not only target to increase organically the fleet, but also to improve the margins. There were a lot of actions taken in 19, so the strategy was to implement the Lean, so which is an ongoing improvement program in all our divisions. It could lead for the rail division to an increase in revenues, as you will see, in utilization rate and in leasing rates. But also we do optimize our costs. We have to remain a very flexible platform, scalable platform, and we did achieve in 19 savings of 1.3 million on our general and administrative expenses. The strategy is also the activity which is not part of our long-term strategy. However, we are, as you know, a 51% owner of this activity in Africa, which is for the manufacturing of modular buildings. Very pleased also to announce that you know, this activity is black in, is back into black numbers, with a significant, in fact, contracts you know, which were signed for 34 million euros. The strategy here was to concentrate on the education sector, and we could sign a major contract for the deliveries of schools, colleges, and student residences. So here, definitely the strategy for this activity is be back with positive EBITDA numbers in 2020 and 2021, leading to an increase in the value of our shares we own in this subsidiary. Thierry, I turn to you now.
Thank you, Fabrice. So part one, we will I will present you the 2019 result in detail. So you can see in page 9 the income statement. The leasing activity shows stable numbers, 134 million in 2018 to 134.35 million in 2019. In fact, it hides an increase in leasing activity for the assets we owned and a decrease of leasing activity for the assets managed. Why? Because in fact, the assets managed are beginning to be old. They are redelivered and we sell them. And we see in sales of equipment a big increase in sales thanks to that, coming from 18 million in 2018 to 32 million in 2019. So mostly sales, an increase of sales of containers, but also big increase in the modular building activity where we have seen the turnaround in 2019. The fees of on syndication is increasing also with an increase in volume. Cost of sales of equipment is increasing in parallel with the sales. However, the margins are better in 2019 thanks to a better added value. Operating expenses, it shows stable numbers also. However, it hides also increase and decrease. Small increase or some increase in the railcar activity where there is some repairs and revision to service the rail cars to be able to lease them. And this is compensated by a decrease in containers. General and administrative expenses, we continue to focus on improvement program and focus on productivity, better productivity, and we've been able to decrease our central cost by 1.3 million. Net distribution to investors decreasing, mostly with the decrease of the fleet because we are selling some assets. So we've seen this big increase in EBITDA. Depreciation is increasing also. Depreciation is increasing because we have invested in a revision, CapEx revision, but also assets. We have the impact of IFRS 16, which is 1.6 million euro. If we look at the then financial results, is increasing also. You can see the detailed page 10. There is an increase in interest expense. It's only 1.1 million increase in interest expense. It comes with the increased level, average level of debt because we have invested in 2019. This net financial expense record also a non-recurring exceptional foreign exchange loss that was recorded already on the first half 2019, 1.2 million of exceptional foreign exchange loss, and the impact also of IFRS 16 of 0.4 million. The income tax expense increasing because we begin to be profitable, and especially in containers. We continue to record in 2019, but it will be mostly the last year where we can see these big numbers of earnings from a discontinued operation, which is not earnings, but mostly expenses. This was recorded also in 2019, first half 2019, and it's the adjustment of price of the sale of modular building in Europe we've done by the end of 2017. It results a big improvement in the net income, still a loss, but big improvement, and we can see that the profit before tax is now positive, which we have not seen since many years. So page 10, you have all the key points of this income statement. We can switch to page 11, where we can see the details of the EBITDA per activities. The freight rail cars activity is the one which is more contributing in EBITDA because this is where we own the most of assets, 23 million euro EBITDA compared to 22.9, so mostly a very slight increase. River barges is decreasing, we come back to see it. Containers, very big improvement with 6.6 million improvement. In the line other, you can see the modular building activity and the for corporate expense. Modular building activity in 2019 is mostly zero plus, so just positive. So this is where we can see the turnaround. It was minus 2 million in 2018. The 1.5 million you can see in 2019 is the impact of IFRS 16. In 2018, we can see a big loss in this other line. In fact, it's because central cost was not totally reimbursed, meaning that if you look at freight rail, river barges and containers in 2019, it's not totally comparable to what you can see in 2018. For example, for freight rail cars, in fact, we have increased the invoice in 2019 of central costs compared to 2018 for 800,000 euros. So the improvement of freight rail cars, if you want to see a comparable basis, is mostly 1 million in 2019, that 0.2 that is shown here. If we look at this performance of freight rail cars, page 12, you can see the improvement in revenues. It comes with an improvement in leasing revenues by 10%, coming by an increase in average utilization rate and by an increase in leasing rate when we have renewed the contract last year. We have also an increase in syndication margin with an increase in volume. This has been compensated, as I said before, by some operating expenses, where we can see an increase of 2.8 million, mainly due to repairs and servicing of rail cars. Again, when we need more rail cars, we need to repair and service those rail cars. That's why we have these expenses. So then the EBITDA is stable. The freight rail cars is a tangible asset base, page 13. The average leasing period is 3 years today, and the lifespan of the asset is very, very long. So we'll see later that the fair market value of those assets are higher than the net book value, which would be the same for all our assets. Page 14, you can see the decrease in the performance of river barges. So this is only this activity which shows a decrease of performance in 2019. This comes mainly because we have done in 2018 sales that has not done in 2019. So no barge sales in 2019. There is also a small decrease in leasing revenue with some momentum on the South American market, which is not so good for the time being. We, in 2019, have been able to reinvest one barge in 2019. We have reinvested also in 2018 and being able to do refinancing and financing. The tangible asset of the river barges, we see that the average age of it is very young, 13 years with an average utilization rate quite high at 90% and an average leasing period quite long at nearly 6 years. So a very good visibility on this activity even with this lower performance. The performance of containers, page 16. We've been able over the last 24 months to invest $33 million that have been invested in own containers, so on the balance sheet. This has increased the leasing revenue on equipment sharply by more than 50% to 7.6, where in fact the leasing revenue on equipment management third party has been decreased because we have sold assets. And then the trading activity has been very, very high with an increase of more than 100%. So we have been able to double the volume of sales and then with a significant impact in the EBITDA with a growth of more than 6 million. The containers is also tangible assets. So we are a company where we lease only tangible assets, steel boxes. The number of containers we see, page 17, is decreasing a little bit because we sell assets managed on behalf of third parties. We see the average age fleet, which is quite high due to this old fleet managed on behalf of third parties, but the average utilization rate is very high. Just remind that in the utilization rate we calculate inside the group, we integrate all the containers where our competitors usually exclude the containers held for sale. So we have for sure, and we can see a decrease of this average utilization rate because in fact we have these old containers redelivered, which is an opportunity because we will be able then to sell them. Average leasing period is very long. Very good visibility, 6.6 years, with a percentage of long-term contract, which is very high. 90% of the leasing contract are between 3 and 7 years. We depreciate the containers over 13 years with a residual value of about 1,000 to 1,400, depends if it's a 20 or a 40 foot. Just remind that, in fact, the economic lifetime of the containers is very long, 35 years, because we have the seagoing lifespan, which is 15 years. This is where we are, in fact, managing the container, but after we are selling the container for storage, where they can last in land for 20 years. If we look at the balance sheet, page 19, this is a comparative summary balance sheet. The total assets, total liabilities, 450 million, little increase. This comes from an increase of capitalized equipment, so some investment. In current assets, we can see on the left a decrease by 20 million. This comes mainly from the first half where we have sold and syndicated containers that were in inventory at that time. Cash is increasing a little bit. And this is financed on the right by liabilities. The group shareholders equity is recording the 50 million euro of hybrid debt. Long-term financial debt are decreasing, but you can see that the current liabilities are increasing. In fact, there is a transfer of long-term financial debt to short-term financial debt because there is some refinancing to do this year. We'll see it later. Page 20, we have given you there the impact of the IFRS 16. In few words and in summary, the application of IFRS 16 at this point is an increase in the balance sheet, both side assets and liabilities of 3 million. It's an increase in EBITDA of 1.3 million and in net income of 0.3 million. And page 21, you have some explanation of the and some details of the balance sheet. Page 22 is the economic balance sheet, which is quite more simple and easy to understand, where you have the non-current assets inventory on the left, the 369 non-current assets inventory, just 5 million euros of goodwill and intangible assets in this number. So it's really tangible assets. So we have about 364 million euros of tangible assets, and this is financed by debt and equity. So we don't finance any working capital. Working capital is negative at the group, negative because we do management on behalf of a third party, asset management. If we look at the detail of the debt, page 23, 239 million euros of gross debt, 39 million of cash, then a net debt of just below 200. The debt is composed of recourse debt and non-recourse debt. Non-recourse debt is at 155 million euros, and this is mostly asset-backed financing, where recourse debt is mostly corporate debt. We have a diversified sources of funding, 50%, 49% is asset-backed financing, plus 3% finances, 36% is debt coming from capital markets. The maturity schedule is shown page 24. You can see that we have a high level of refinancing in 2020. We are used to, you can see on the right, that in 2019, we had a big refinancing or financing in 2019, which was mostly corporate, 40 million, as said by Fabrice, of a senior secured loan, plus 10 million of bonds. We've been able also to refinance some assets, some barges, with new barges and refinancing. 2020 is this current asset refinancing program, where we have asset-backed financing of 66 million of red cars to refinance and 39 million of containers. We are working with our lenders to do this, and due to the current environment, I would say, working parallelly to extend also those debt and not just refinance, but doing the process, also both process in parallel. Page 25, we can show that we are compliant with all our contractual ratios. The net gearing is 1.6, which is quite good or normal for an asset-based company like we are, with long-term assets and long-term contracts, with a loan-to-value of 54%. The interest coverage ratio is 3.14. The cash flow statement, so what happens in cash in 2019, page 26, so you can see the operating activities, which shows a low level of cash, only 8 million euros in 2019 compared to only 5 million euros in 2018. However, just remind that for lessor, we have to record all the investment in operating activities. So you have this line, net purchase of equipment and change in inventory, where we spent our cash to invest and to grow our balance sheet. So 30 million in both years, 2018-2019. If we look at the operating performance, operational performance, you can see the first line, operating activities excluding the working capital, 23 million in 2018 with the improvement, and with the improvement we've seen in the profit and loss, 32 million in 2019. The working capital is increasing. We have been able to increase a little bit the working capital and have 4 million cash more. Investing activity should be nil in TWACS because, again, all the investment are tangible assets and are in operating activity. There is 3 million investing activity, so a positive number. In fact, it was a release of the escrow account that was with the sale of the European modular building activity. Financing activity, mainly comprises of the two new financing facilities of the corporate division we discussed, the 40 and 10 million, and the debt repayment, including the convertible bond that has been repaid. So it's nearly zero. So as you know, our strategy is to invest on our balance sheet, but also we have the strategy of managing assets on behalf of third party. So this strategy, page 28, it enables to expand our fleet and generate additional income without increasing the level of the balance sheet, increasing the gearing and the loan to value. So the assets are mostly managed for containers, but we also manage freight cars. They are organized in portfolio. The investors are qualified investors, essentially family offices, institutional investors, either directly or through Luxembourg Fund. The management we do with these investors, we don't guarantee any return, any minimum of return. The investors, they take the risk of the ownership, but we align our interest doing a pool of assets, pooling our own assets and managed assets together. The asset management model, page 21, is shown there. First, we purchase some assets, we lease the assets to our customer, and we build the portfolio. Then when we have a portfolio, we can sell this portfolio to investor, which is the initial syndication, when we earn a syndication fee. At the same time, we sign a management agreement. The management agreement is very long, mostly more than 10 years. And during those time, we manage the asset on behalf of third parties, and we earn a management fee. And then at the end of the agreement, we sell the assets, or to another investor, or to an end consumer, and this is a second-hand sale that's happening today, for example, for containers, and we earn a marketing fee at that time. So the level of the total assets under management today, page 30, is 1.2 billion, where 733 is managed on behalf of third parties. You can see that there is a decrease in asset managed compared the group owned increasing a little bit. This decrease comes from the sales we are doing for all the assets. The investors profile we already discussed is family offices, financial companies, investment companies and corporate. And those investors, they seek a diversification strategy, recurring yields, and they want to invest in real and tangible assets with long useful life and quite a good visibility, long-term leasing contract. The strategy we have on this asset management is to provide the possibility to investors to invest through funds or directly to purchase the assets. So we are TWAX, the exclusive operating partner of two sub-funds, one in euros, the TWAX Transportation Asset Income Euro Sub-Fund 1, which was launched in 2016. It has now more than 50 investors, family offices, institutional investors, and a combined market value of above 150 million. The second sub-fund is a US dollar sub-fund. It was launched in 2018, so it's just at the beginning. It has raised only today $9 million equity with nine investors and is investing mostly in containers. Also, the direct investment, we have some infrastructure funds or institutional investors that want to invest directly in tangible assets. So we can sell them directly the assets. We have been able in 2019 to syndicate $28 million US dollar of containers and 12 million euros of freight credit cards, and have obtained commitments above this amount, and anticipate to do some investment and some management also in 2020. So this is a strategy we will continue in 2020. As a conclusion of this 2019 financial statement presentation, after focusing successfully on our transportation equipment leasing activities in 2018, we can see that we continue to roll out our improvement program in 2019, and with that we've been able to generate an increase in performance. I let now Fabrice Baleski, our managing partner, to present you this strategy and the market outlook.
Thank you, Thierry. So part two, market outlook and strategy on page 33. So here we give you the medium-term outlook of the freight railcar activity. We will discuss more in a minute about COVID-19, but you have to know that in the medium term, we are still very positive on these markets. We still see some growth in Europe going forward, of course, after the end of the crisis. Since 2013, it has been very stable, around 1 to 1.3% growth in volume. We see also that despite economical environments, there is a strong need to replace existing fleet. So even if we want to keep a stable fleet, we have to invest massively in order to replace it. And as you see, the number of new wagons produced jumped from 7,000 wagons to 12,000 wagons per year. This is still very low compared to the 750,000 wagons, 50 billion euros of assets in operation in Europe, very low because it is below 2%. So positive, and it will give a lot of work to the leasing companies to help financing those new assets for the customers. Talking about that, you see the ratio of ownership, it increased from 20% to 30%. In favor of the operating leasing companies. This is normal. The market has been liberalized in Europe only in 2007. It has been liberalized much more earlier in the US, and the market share of leasing companies is around 40%. Asia, we also see some significant increase. This is mainly linked to the major infrastructure projects done by India, but also China to favor rail. Rail is in fact is really an obligation for those countries because a lot of roads are saturated, especially in India, and therefore they create in India here a new dedicated freight corridor, the DFC, which will be completely brand new and only dedicated to freight. So they will not mix, as we do in Europe, you know, passengers and cargo transportation on the same railway track. They will create completely from scratch a new dedicated line. And of course, you are aware of the major investment, 140 billion euros made by China on the Silk Roads, where they can link Europe with China on by rail. So our ambitions are a bit the same. So we target to reach 15,000 wagons. We have today 11,000 wagons in our portfolio. We will continue to maximize utilization rates. It's 89%. So we target it above 90%. Continue to also work with our balance sheet to finance the acquisition of portfolios, but also in collaboration, close collaboration with third-party investors, mainly infrastructure funds. In Asia, we have today 100% utilization rate. So the idea is just to follow the demand. We signed recently nine trains. They call it RECs. In India, with customers like Tata for the transportation of steel coils, or Birla for transportation of alumina. River barges, it is a market of 15 billion euros of assets. As you know, we are number one in Europe. We see still a demand in France. This is mainly due to the major infrastructure projects of Greater Paris, where they built a new railway line around Paris. And there is also a decrease on the Rhine related to the transportation of grain and biomass. The other two markets where we are, United States and South America, are a little bit weaker at the moment, less demand. Our trucks ambition, so it's to do selective investments, mostly in Europe. We have, in fact, ordered some barges for cement companies in France to be operated on the Seine River, but also on the Rhine to transport biomass. This is a 7 years long-term contract, so only long-term contract, only back-to-back lease transactions. We also participate to innovation studies with governments in order to put more cargo on river. So we participate to Novimar project, which is a project to create automatic convoys of barges. And we also participate to the program Multiregio, which will be, this is an initiative taken by various players in order to, improve or increase the volume of cargo transported on the Seine, but also on the North canals, because, as you know, they decided to build finally this canal, which is named Canal Seine Nord, which will link the Seine River to the other canals of Europe. We are also trying to increase, our activities with partners, as we do in rail or containers, and we have a program to invest €120 million in the next 4 years. This is not a lot when you compare it to the €15 billion of assets in operation, but we will try to help large corporations who want to transfer cargo from road to river. For containers, the market is there are 40 million containers worldwide. It's $80 billion assets, in operation worldwide. What we see definitely is because of the virus, but even last year in 2019 with trade wars, the growth of the container business, cargo transported in containers worldwide, is growing on a slow pace. It was 1.7% in 2019. The most recent forecast, including the analysis of the coronavirus impact, still show positive numbers. We are, pleased to see that. Even 2.1%, but we believe that at the end, 2020 will be definitely a slow year in terms of growth. As you know, containers, even though we can do short distance transportation on rail, on trucks, on barges, etc., definitely the activity is, also growing at a lower pace. The OECD, the latest, forecasts, do forecast 2.4% growth, Moody's 2.1% growth. So we are in a market environment which will grow less. However, what we see is when you have more uncertainty on the markets, you don't have a lot of visibility on the markets, if there are some needs to replace equipment, the customers will turn more to the leasing companies. They will outsource more. They will not use their cash. They will keep it for their strategic operations and more subcontract those kind of investments. So we saw already the 40% market share jumping to 52% in the last decade. We expect that to continue in the existing environment. Something interesting to notice also is that the utilization rate in February is still 96%. In fact, this is also valid for our main the main players of the market. So we don't see any contraction of the market and still a good usage of the existing fleet. So less growth, but no contraction. So what is our TUAX ambitions in these markets? In fact, we do not rely we don't need a growing market to deliver higher numbers. As you saw, even though the market increased only by 1.7% in 19, we could increase our EBITDA by more than 287%. So why we do that? Simply because we increase a little bit the share of ownership we have in this portfolio. We used to own only 8%. We target 80% in 2020. In fact, that's probably a level we should reach even in 2020. When we do that, it is we simply keep more return on investments, so it's accretive to the shareholders, and we keep more a higher share of the EBITDA. However, we will continue also working with third-party investors to develop the fleet, and this is definitely we will want to keep that relationship for 80% of the portfolio. What we have done also, we have a good platform to trade assets also. This is something which was new. We were mostly concentrated to the leasing activities before. In the past 2 years, we increased the trading of new containers worldwide, And this is the volume, in fact, increased, as you saw, tremendously in 19 and will continue. By the way, February of this year, 2020, was still a very good year. It's very often we see that when you have less demand in leasing, we increase the trading activity. 2016 and 2009 were the highest volume of containers sold on the market. Development, of course, also of other type of equipment. We try not to, to stay in the dry container market, but also to go to reefer containers. Why? Because reefer containers transport mostly food, and of course, the population, even when confined, still consume. So we see, we continue to see a strong demand for reefer containers. Something interesting to notice also, we are definitely at the service of the sustainable transport, because transport on rivers, transport by rail, or intermodal transport help large corporations to reduce their CO2 emissions. As you see on page 36, we give some here, in fact, indications or announcements done by companies. Solvay aims to reduce its carbon emissions by 1 million tons by 2025. Danone committed to achieve a zero net emissions by 2050. ArcelorMittal announced a plan to reduce its emissions by 30% by 2050. All of that means more transportation transferred to rail or river or in containers, so which is good. Also, you have to know that because of the existing crisis, a lot of governments decided finally to invest in infrastructure. It will be very beneficial to the group after the end of this crisis. They, you know, really try to do it. The example in the UK, where a lot of steps were taken to, you know, start and accelerate the high-speed 2 program. This is the creation of a new high-speed rail link between London and Birmingham and Manchester. We have delivered, by the way, recently a brand new hopper wagons for this project in the UK. It is leased to a very large cement company worldwide for 5 years. We have also major projects, infrastructure projects, you know, like Canal Seine-Nord, as we discussed, for the river activity, Grand Paris Express, a new railway line around Paris to be delivered 2022, the Seine-Nord-based tunnel to be finalized this year, by the way. It's a major project because it will develop a lot of the rail traffic under the Alps. Also, a very significant program named Rail Baltica. This is 870 new railway lines to link Europe and Poland with Finland via Lithuania, Latvia, and Estonia. On the next page, you have also what we do so to help these initiatives to develop sustainable modes of transport. We participate to programs with also the states. And here, this is just an example, but we have been nominated to AxRail as, you know, there were only 8 consortium selected in Europe to build, in fact, to transform some wagons, to retrofit some wagons with new braking systems to reduce tremendously noise pollution. In fact, if we want to increase transportation by rail, a lot of trains cross cities. Therefore, we have to reduce noise, and we have been selected to do that, which is very good. We'll continue to help our customers. Okay, so despite the chaotic economic environment with COVID-19, you know, we what we can say is that we have a resilience of our businesses. There were 2 press releases, one in March on March 6th and one 2 days ago, March 25. So what we said in those 2 press releases is first, 76% of our leasing income budgeted, leasing revenues budgeted in 2020 are already under contract on January 1st, 2020. So this is a, you know, the advantage of being a long-term leasing lessor. What we can confirm also is that to date, no delay has been recorded in payment times. with our customers. No commercial contracts have been broken because of the crisis, and rates when we renew contracts have not dropped. Of course, we are now on the 27th of March, but it was, quite good news, and we did those announcements. What we see also is that there are a lot of disruptions on logistical chains. They have, our customers have difficulties to move, of course, some containers. They are blocked here or there. There are some factory closures or repair shops closed. And when, we have a slow movement of those assets, in fact, they need more assets. So it's also explained why you have that 96% utilization rate maintained in the container activity. And structurally, as I said, those activities will be supported by the customers or governments because they are green ways to transport cargo. However, page 39, what we did is we did some forecasts for you, and we tried to run some scenarios. Here we use an analysis done by McKinsey. There are two scenarios today for COVID-19, a baseline scenario, which is a recovery this summer. So the virus continued to spread in the Middle East, Europe, and United States until the middle of the second quarter of 2020, and then there is a gradual recovery. The second scenario is, of course, a worst-case scenario where it does not stop in the summer, and then you have a severe impact on the economy until the second quarter of 2021, something very similar in terms of duration with 2009. The current scenarios are the baseline scenario, with all the significant measures taken by public health authorities and governments. And if you have a baseline scenario, you see here the different industries and the impact. For tourism, it's still very bad because the resumption of the activities are only forecasted for the last quarter. So severe impact for tourism activities, a severe impact for the aviation with only a return to normal forecasted in Q3 or Q4 of this year. For oil, moderate impact, but still a big impact with some restart in Q3. Automotive, a quite big impact, but they also, if the baseline scenario is the one, then Q2, Q3 will be back to normal. Household goods or electronics, in fact, small or moderate impact, recovery starting Q2. What we can say is that the segments mostly affecting TWAX are automotive, household goods, and electronics, especially household goods and electronics. This is what we put in containers. As you know, we have close to 60% of our wagons, which are flat wagons transporting containers. So in fact, we see for that a quite robust market right after the end of the crisis. On page 40, what we can say, however, even though our business remains resilient, we remain extremely vigilant, and we took the following measures. The first measure was to protect our teams. So you have to know that all our staff today on our main six locations, Dublin, Paris, Singapore, Hamburg, Miami, are working remotely, which is good. We have a very good IT system. In fact, we have an international activity, so we were already connected via secured VPN connections to our data systems. And in our plant in Morocco, we have teams, and they rotate every 15 days. So two teams rotating every 15 days. We have weekly meetings to supervise any potential impacts on, equipment, so change of prices, availability of the offering, change in demand, logistical disruptions for customers, etc., etc. We have also a weekly meetings on the cash management. We monitor closely client payments, but as I said earlier, we collect payments as due. We also make sure we are fully available for our customers, so we have a business continuity plan. And in fact, our teams are completely reachable, all of them, by our customers and partners. We also follow very closely the logistic supply chain. You have to know, for example, that repair shops to do the maintenance on wagons for 30% of the capacity is closed at the moment in Europe, 30%. So the good news is that you have 70% open, but still 30% is closed. It should reopen, we hope, soon, but there were some derogations obtained from governments, from the safety agencies, to continue to operate trains, even if the maintenance, is not done. And it was a temporary authorization given for 3 months. So I would say the industries are organized organized themselves in order to, deal with all those issues. And also on the financial, potential impact, we run tests. We review all our lease contract maturities, et cetera, and we implement scenarios. Going to go too quickly on the last part. So this is on page 42. When we moved to this strategy of long-term leasing of transportation assets, it's a very simple activity. So we have all those assets leased on long-term with a yield coming from the leasing activity. We decided last year to announce for the first time the NAV per share, so the net asset value per share. How we do it, very simple. We take all the tangible assets we have, freight wagons, river barges, and containers. We use third-party experts. Those experts are the ones used by the banks, our bank partners. So it's Realistics for rail. There are in fact a few different experts for the barge activity, depending where the barges are located. And for containers, the expert used is Harrison in the UK. You see here the details. In fact, for wagons, the net book value is 121 million euros, the market value 157. I have to say that here there is an elimination of all the wagons which are owned by third parties, but also when we own only 51% of an SPV owning assets, we do the retreatment here. So this is really the share of owned assets. We did the same for river barges, did the same for containers. So it's a little bit more than around 45 million euros of, in fact, potential capital gain above the net book value. If you divide that by 7 million shares, so that's why you have a net asset value per share, which is 13 euros today per share. On the next page, we give you, a lot of data on the stock listed on the Paris Stock Exchange market. You have to know that the equity, the book price per share, this is indicated here, is 6.79. So in fact, you have 13.2 euros of NAV per share, and as accounted on our books, if you do the same calculation, this is 6.79 euro per share, excluding the hybrid capital we have. Thank you very much. I turn now to you. Don't hesitate to ask questions.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. We haven't any question by phone. Ladies and gentlemen, I remind you that if you wish to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. We haven't a question by phone. Ladies and gentlemen, I remind you that if you wish to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. We haven't a question by phone. Back to you for the conclusion, sir.
So thank you very much to all. Don't hesitate to ask questions after the call, if you do a lot of you. Thank you again for participating despite the sanitary crisis. And thanks and see you very soon. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes the conference call. Thank you all for your participation. You may now disconnect.